Radio.
Elka, thank you so much for sharing that awesome music that we enjoyed and just felt the Spirit of God in there. We're getting ready to start our show.
Recorded live.
We are cross-streaming, and we just give God all the praise, give honor and praise to the Most High God. Just thanking God for another day that we can have a midday prayer. We can come together and just worship and exalt His mighty name.
This conference is being recorded.
Thank God for being God. So we give honor and praise. God, we thank you for midday prayer. We thank you, God, for each and every one. Our participants, listeners, downloaders, God, everyone who's got their mind stayed on you, God, that knows that you're a God of change, that you're a God of miraculous possibilities. You're the God of the impossible, that through you, God, all things are possible. So, God, we give you praise and glory, and we thank you, God. We thank you for healing right now, Lord. We call healing on our sister Anne that's being electronically tortured. We plead the blood of Jesus right now. Satan, you have to leave her alone. That spirit of tormentation, that spirit of pain, that spirit of pressure, that spirit just tormenting her. In the name of Jesus, Satan, I rebuke you. I plead the blood of Jesus on her. I plead the blood that shielding, that she'll be protected and covered. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you just make great changes, have that demon entity leave that woman alone in the name of Jesus. God, we just thank you. I think they messed up her phone already too. That she's tried to be on the call so bad, and they have interrupted the call, and in the name of Jesus, we just plead the blood of Jesus that things are going to work out for her. God, we thank you for our sister Elka that you have here with us, Heavenly Father. We thank you, God, for her praying spirit. I thank you, God, for her spirit of jubilee, her spirit of just wanting to exalt your name and magnify your name, Heavenly Father. God, we thank you for the lesson we have coming tonight. We thank you for the lesson on numbers, being in the wilderness, and how come these people were in the wilderness so long. Some things they did that made me years longer than it needed to be, Heavenly Father. Don't let us do that, Lord. Let us not spend the time in the wilderness, Heavenly Father. Bring us out of the wilderness, God. We know that you're a God of miracles. You're a God of greatness. You have things that you can do for us, Heavenly Father, that only supernatural forces can do. And Heavenly Father, we ask, Heavenly Father, to... We ask you, Heavenly Father, to do those things that we know that only you can do, Heavenly Father. And we thank you, God, for our elders. We have our Mother Snyder here, and we give you, God, honor and praise, God. We thank you for Anne's mother. We thank you for Amy's mother. Thank you, God, for my mother. Thank you, God, for our elders planting the root in us, Heavenly Father, the root of the Word of God, that we should know which way to go. Thank you, God, for your scripture. Thank you, God, for the privilege of prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you, God, to direct this Bible study. Let us each leave here with information and knowledge we did not have previously. Lord, most importantly, we thank you for your word that tells us that when God says things are going to change, they're going to change. When God says victory's coming, it's coming. The word of God says if it doesn't come in this generation's time, it will come in the next generation's time, but God's will be done, and we thank you and we praise you, God, that you have given us the word that we can stand on, that this targeted individual program will be shut down, whether it's in my time, I know the next generation's time. God's word says when he says that something will come to be, it will come to be. These demons in my particular case, Jonathan Lippman, Boyd and Gray, will be shut down in the name of Jesus. The word of God says so. And I thank you and I praise you, God. And I thank you, God, that I am going to be everything that you created me to be. I thank you, God, for each and every TI that's going to be everything you created them to be by standing under the word of God. God, we exalt your name. We magnify you, Heavenly Father. We thank you for the privilege of prayer. We thank you, God, for this lesson on numbers, Heavenly Father. And let us not be the wanderers that are described in here that caused their years to be longer than they needed to be in a very devastating program, very similar to the program we're in, Heavenly Father, by not listening. But we thank you, God, that we know through your word, listening and praying and following your footsteps, obedience and trust will take us to the promised land. And we ask you, God, to fill us up with a spirit of trust, to fill us up with a spirit of obedience. As you cleanse us, you take these any habits we have that you don't like, God, that doesn't belong in us, in the name of Jesus, take it away as we humbly yield ourselves to your will, God. God, we praise you. We magnify your name. We give you all the glory. We thank you, God, for our sister Elka, our praying sister. We thank you, God, for her spirit of just wanting to rejoice and exalt your name, Heavenly Father, at all times. We ask you, God, to cover her, protect her, bind up any demon spirit coming near her, bind up any demon spirit trying to harm her, put fear in her, in the name of Jesus, that she can continue to do your work, Lord. Lord, we give you praise. We give you glory. We just thank you, God, for you being God, in Jesus' name, amen. Mother, we have mother that's going to pray a little.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We want you, Heavenly Father, to bless us individually and collectively. Continue to teach us your way, Lord. We thank you for your word, Heavenly Father. That is our guide for life. We glorify you, Lord. We want you, Heavenly Father, to continue to stir us together that we may always unite and pray and praise thee and pray for others, Lord. Pray for the sick. Pray for our President Obama, Lord. Pray for all your people, Lord. Bring them in from the world of sin. Those that are not saved, save them, Heavenly Father. Bless all family, Lord, individually and collectively. In Jesus' name, we thank you for this. Amen. Why it went off like that?
Yeah, that's me again.
Right. Okay, amen. Elka, you want to pray now or at the end?
I can pray at the end.
Okay. All right, well, we're taking a look today at the book of Numbers. We're studying the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. We've done Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. Now we're doing Numbers, and finally we'll have Deuteronomy, and then we have an awesome final exam. And this is called the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. And we're looking tonight at an outline on the book of Numbers. That it's a very long chapter, a book. I think it has 30-something chapters, and we're just going to summarize it and take a look at some of the key words, key points, and then we'll do a little quiz on our book of Numbers. So when we look at the book of Numbers, we see in part one the preparation of the old generation to inherit the promised land. That is in Numbers chapters 1 through 10. In these chapters, we see the organization of Israel, the organization of the people, the organization of the priests, sanctification of Israel, sanctification through separation. We see sanctification through the Nazarite vows, sanctification through worship, sanctification through the divine guidance. Then in part two, which is Numbers chapters 10 to 25, we see the failure of the old generation to inherit the promised land. What caused that failure? We'll take a look at that. The failure of Israel en route to Kadesh. Israel departs Mount Sinai. Failure of the people. Failure of Moses. God provides for Moses. God provides for the people. Failure of Miriam and Aaron. That's Numbers 12, 1 through 6. The climatic failure of Israel at Kadesh is in Numbers 13. Investigation of the promised land, Israel rebels against God. Moses intercedes. God judges Israel. Israel rebels against the judgment of God. The failure of Israel in the wilderness, the review of the offerings, rebellion of Korah, rebellion of Israel against Moses and Aaron, role of the priesthood, the failure of Israel en route to Moab. Miriam dies. Moses and Aaron fail. Edom refuses passage. Aaron dies. Israel's victory over the Canaanites, the failure of Israel, journey to Moab, Israel's victory over the Ammon, and failure with the Moabites. And then part three, which is Numbers 26 to 36, we see the preparation of the new generation to inherit the promised land. We see the reorganization of Israel. We see the regulation of offerings and vows, the conquest and division of Israel. And then we see, finally, we see victory over the Midians, division of the land east of Jordan, and special cities in Canaan, special problems of inheritance in Canaan. Basically, Numbers, the book of Numbers is a journey. It discusses a journey to God's rest land. Numbers is the story of God leading his people, Israel, through the wilderness on their way to Canaan, the rest land he promised. God did not intend for them to go through the wilderness for 40 years. Numbers was written to tell why Israel did not enter the promised land and immediately after leaving Mount Sinai. It illustrates God's requirement of faith for his people, his chastisements and judgments for rebellion, and how his ongoing purpose was eventually realized. The journey moves from Mount Sinai to the plains of Moab opposite Jericho. First, it was a brief journey into places unknown, demanding the utmost in trust and patience. Then it became a long, aimless wandering in judgment for unbelief, consuming all but a few of the original travelers. Finally, it was a new and swift journey by the new generation with a few of the old leaders, reviving the hopes of the nation to appropriate the original promise of the land of rest and blessing. As the book of Numbers closes, the people can expect to hear the trumpet as the signal to cross over the Jordan into the land. They have to drive the enemy out of the land, but success is assured, for their God has said, "I will give it to you." Numbers 10, verse 29. The five books of Moses, the Pentateuch, as noted earlier, constitute a whole. Numbers, as the fourth part of the whole, makes it an indispensable contribution. On our Pentateuch, we will find that we have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. In Genesis, we shows us the nation of Israel, its birth, the infancy. In Genesis, the first book of the Pentateuch, it talks about man, his creation, his fall, and man's hope. And God is described in full. He's described as a sovereign God. God's sovereignty is described in Genesis. Then after Genesis, we have Exodus, where the nation of Israel has been delivered from Egypt. And this, the focus is on man, man's deliverance. In Exodus, we see God as a merciful God. The God in Exodus is merciful. The God in Genesis, we said, was a sovereignty. And now we're looking at the book Leviticus. Leviticus, the nation of Israel, given laws of worship and living in Leviticus. That's where they get the laws of worship and living. And then we see man has access to God and fellowship with him. And access to God and fellowship with him, you know, through the priests. But at this point, the priests are letting the men know that they have access to God and fellowship with him. God, the God of Leviticus, the emphasis on it is holiness. He is a holy God. Now we come to the book of Numbers. We see the relationship with the nation of Israel. They're traveling to Canaan. The men in this, conditions for inheritance. We look at the relationship with man is the condition for inheritance. And here God, we see God has patience. He's a patient God. And when we get to the book of Deuteronomy, it'll be the final preparation for entering Canaan. And man's relationship will be discussed with consecration. And God's lordship will be the focus. So in Genesis, we have God's sovereignty as the emphasis. In Exodus, God's mercy. In Leviticus, God's holiness. In Numbers, God's patience. In Deuteronomy, the lordship. So that is what our Pentateuch has taught us. And this is where we see the beginning, the creation from Genesis. We see the fall of man, and we see the continued hope. And then we go into Exodus with respect to man. We see men were delivered. Then we see in Leviticus that men have access to God and fellowship with him. And in Numbers, we look at the conditions for inheritance. And then Deuteronomy will be a focus for men and consecration. The Christ of Numbers, perhaps the clearest portrait of Christ in Numbers, is the bronze serpent on the stake, a picture of the crucifixion, Numbers 21:4-9. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, John 3:14. The rock that quenches the thirst of the multitudes is also a type of Christ. They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ, 1 Corinthians 10:4. The daily manna pictures the bread of life who later comes down from heaven, John 6:31. Balaam foresees the rulership of Christ. I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob. A scepter shall rise out of Israel, Numbers 24:17. The guidance and presence of Christ is seen in the pillar of a cloud and fire. And the sinner's refuge in Christ may be seen in the six cities of refuge. The red heifer sacrifice, Numbers chapter 19, is also considered a type of Christ. What are some of the keys to Numbers? The key word, wanderings. Numbers records the failure of Israel to believe in the promise of God and the resulting judgment of wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. So the key word is wanderings. Our key verses, Numbers 14, verses 22 to 23, and Numbers 20, verse 12. Our key chapter is Numbers 14. The critical turning point of Numbers may be seen in Numbers chapter 14, when Israel rejects God by refusing to go up and conquer the promised land. God judges Israel according to the number of days in which you spied out the land, 40 days for each day you shall bear your guilt 1 year, namely 40 years, and ye shall know my rejection. Numbers 14:34. So, summary of Numbers. Israel, as a nation in its infancy at the outset of the book, only 13 months after the Exodus from Egypt, in Numbers, the book of divine discipline, it becomes necessary for the nation to go up through the painful process of testing and maturation. God must teach his people the consequences of irresponsible decisions. The 40 years of wilderness experience transforms them from a rabble group of ex-slaves into a nation ready to take the promised land. Numbers begins with old generation, Numbers 1:1 to 10:10. It moves through a tragic transitional period, Numbers 10 through 25, and it ends with the new generation, Numbers 26 through 36, at the doorway to the land of Canaan. The primary message of Numbers is clear. God's people progress forward only by trusting him and his promises and by obeying his word. Although passing through the desert was necessary for a season, it was not God's original intention that the desert test be prolonged so that a whole generation of Israelites live and die there. The short journey from Mount Sinai to Kadesh, however, became a 39-year affliction and judgment because of their unbelief. Throughout most of Numbers, the Exodus generation of Israelites was faithless, rebellious, and ungrateful for God's miracles and provisions. Major murmuring occurred among the people soon after leaving Mount Sinai. The congregation talked against advance into Canaan. Korah and many Levites rebelled against Moses. Oh, Amy. Putting active. Okay. Hey,
Amy. Hey, sweetie, I need you to do me a favor. I created the account.
I'm in the middle of my Bible class.
You are?
Yeah, I'm in the middle of the Bible class. I thought you was calling to join.
I will, but I still need to talk to you about something.
Okay, I got to finish this lesson. I'm taping. The tape is on.
Okay, well, merge me in, and then we'll talk about it.
Okay, all right. I merged you when I thought you were in. Okay. The old generation receives directions from God, Numbers 1:1-10:10. The generation that witnessed God's miraculous acts of deliverance and preservation receives further direction from God while they are still at the front of Mount Sinai, Numbers 1:1-10:10. God's instructions are very explicit, reaching every aspect of their lives. He is the author of order, not confusion. And this is seen in the way he organizes people around the tabernacle, turning from the outward conditions of the camp to the inward conditions. Numbers describes the spiritual preparation of the people. Basically, in Numbers, it's amazing. You know, people wandered, they had to wander in the deserts for 40 years. When God never meant for them to be wanderers for 40 years, but because of their lack of belief and their lack of trust and rebellion and disobedience, it became a 40-year tormentation till they reached the promised land. And I apply that a lot to the TI experience. You know, I am not going to be in this program for 40 years, Heavenly Father. You know, I just thank God for that. I mean, the sooner we listen, we put total trust in God, we revamp our lives, this does not have to be a 40-year period. And I bind up every demon. We have many TIs. Just get used to it. I've been in it for life. And I think what's important with Numbers 2 is that it, and I'll get to the reading because I know I saw it before, and God made it clear, even if we're hard-headed knuckleheads and he doesn't make the change during our time, guess what? If God said he's going to do it, then he'll use the next generation. So even if this generation or the last generation was hard-headed, one of the generations are going to listen, and the change is coming about. It happened before. This is a history book, and we're reliving history. So I know it'll happen again. Okay. The tragic transition from faith to unbelief with disastrous results. Numbers 10 through Numbers 25. Israel follows God step by step until Canaan is in sight. Then in the original moment at Kadesh, they draw back in unbelief. Their murmuring, their complaining had already become incessant. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, Numbers 11:1. But their unbelief, after sending out the 12 spies at Kadesh, Barnea, is something God would not tolerate. Their rebellion at Kadesh marks the pivotal points of the book. The generation of the Exodus will not be the generation of the conquest. Unbelief brings discipline and hinders God's blessings. The old generation is doomed to literally kill time for 40 years of wilderness wanderings, 1 year for every day spent by the 12 spies in inspecting the land. They are judged by disinheritance and death, and their journey changes from one of anticipation to one of aimlessness. Only Joshua and Caleb, the two spies who believe God, entered Canaan. Almost nothing is recorded about these transitional years. The new generation prepares to go into the land, Numbers 26 through 36. When the transition to the new generation is complete, the people move to the plains of Moab, directly east of the promised land. Before they can enter the land, they must wait until all is ready. Here they receive new instructions, a new census is taken. Joshua is appointed as Moses' successor, and some of the people settle in the Transjordan. The book of Numbers records two generations, two numbers, two journeyings, and two sets of instructions. It illustrates both the kindness and severity of God, and it teaches that God's people can move forward only as they trust and depend on Him. Background. The fourth book of Moses has had various titles, the book of journeying, the book of murmuring, according to the Hebrew custom of deriving its titles from the first word of the Hebrew text. It has been also called Bermichadah, meaning in the wilderness. When the Septuagint translators affixed the title to the book, they chose the Greek word arithmal, meaning numbers. The title was based on the two numberings or censuses of the people as recorded in the book. The Latin Vulgate name it Liber Numerad, Book of Numbers, which was carried over into the English versions. It is both an exciting and inspiring story, and all who spend time studying it receive much benefit. The authorship has historically been ascribed to Moses by the Jewish and Samaritan Pentateuch, by Jewish tradition, by Jewish and New Testament writers, by ancient Christian writers, by modern conservative scholars. Moses' practice of referring to himself in the third person was a commonplace in ancient writings and does not weaken the credibility of his authorship. External and internal evidences point conclusively to Mosaic authorship of all five books of the Pentateuch, which includes Numbers. Moses certainly was a logical choice of God to write Numbers, since he was the chief eyewitness of its events. Moses probably wrote Numbers when he was at Moab with his people toward the end of his life at the close of the 15th century B.C. The chronological sequence of events in Numbers covered 39 years. Numbers is a sequel to the history recorded in the book of Exodus. After approximately 1 year at Mount Sinai, during which time God established his covenant with Israel, he gave Moses the law and pattern for the tabernacles and instructed him about the contents of Leviticus. The Israelites prepared to continue their journey to the land God had promised them as the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shortly before departing from Mount Sinai, however, God directed Moses to take a census of all the Israelite men who were eligible to go to war. 19 days afterwards, the nation departed from there on a brief journey to Kadesh. Numbers records Israel's serious rebellion at Kadesh and her subsequent 39 years of judgment in the desert, until God brought an entirely new generation of Israelites to the plains of Moab, which lay across the Jordan River from Jericho and the Promised Land. What are the main subjects in the book of Numbers? We have the census counted the fighting forces of Israel. Both censuses of this book were counts of the fighting forces of Israel, not the total population. On the basis of those censuses, the total population has been estimated to be around 2 million. The people occupied a very large area as they traveled and were miraculously fed and sustained along the way. Another subject is the final instructions are given for individuals before the journey, Numbers 5:1 to Numbers 10:10. The first four chapters of Numbers records the directions which Jehovah gave Moses regarding preparations for the journey as related especially to the community of the camp as a whole. In chapter 1, the instructions were, count the warriors of the camp. In chapter 2, the instruction was, arrange the tribes in the camp. Excuse me. Beginning in chapter 5, the instructions were aimed at individuals within the camp. When we read these chapters in Numbers, we will find an outline in mind. It shows us how they put out the unclean. In Numbers 5, 1 through 4, they judge the guilty. Numbers 5, 5 through 31, they told us Nazarite vows was to separate themselves. They offer gifts. They cleansed the Levites. They kept the Passover, and they followed their leaders. The spies reports causes unbelief amongst the people. When they sent out the spies came back and was like, oh, my God, it's so dangerous over there. And they came back and gave these reports. Everybody got scared, and the people were like, yo, I'm not listening to God. I'm not going there. They're going to get rid. I think they had the giants. Am I correct, Elka? They had the giants?
Yes.
Right, and the people got scared because of the giants. And that's what caused God to say, oh, you want to listen to them instead of me? And they end up suffering for 40 years. Okay, as the Israelites approached the land of Canaan from the south, Moses sent spies ahead to see what the Israelite armies would be facing. The people actually decided, perhaps insisted, God chose to use this situation as a terminal test of faith. he knew what the report would be, overwhelmingly fearful from a human standpoint. What God wanted to do was to face the people with the ultimate test of faith. Would they move on faith into the jaws of apparent annihilation? Joshua and Caleb's recommendation was to go in and possess the land. I mean, unimaginable as it may have seemed, 10 of the spies' conclusions, a conquest of the land was impossible. In unbelief, all the people went along with the pessimistic report and rebelled against the Lord and his promises of deliverance. They cried out, "Let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt," Numbers 14:4. Judgment by God was inevitable. Death and disinheritance. Everyone who murmured against Jehovah would die in the wilderness in the course of 40 years. Only Caleb and Joshua, along with the children of the murmuring Israelites, would enter Canaan at the end of the 40 years. Unbelief caused the desert wanderings for a whole generation. Numbers 15-19. The next 37 years or more were transitional years in the history of the nation of Israel. When the commencement and closing days of the wilderness experiences are included, the total time period was 40 years, Numbers 15-19. Numbers records very few events of these transitional years. For in a real sense, these were years of void. One generation of Israel's sacred history was quickly dying off, and its rising youth, as it had no history at all, but though that period lacked events, it did not lack in its significance as a transitional period. Geography. The people neither advanced and retreated geographically. They wandered aimlessly about the wilderness and desert areas between Kadesh and the Red Sea, consuming the years of God's calendar of judgment. Some names of the camping places are listed in Numbers 33. When the judgment years came to a close, the nation returned to Kadesh, ready then to advance towards Canaan. The 37 years produced a major population change. The approximate 600,000 warriors met their appointed death over the space of the years, some by violent causes, and were buried in the wilderness. Daily reminders of God's great judgment. Children and youth under 20 years of age grew up and were married and reared children. By the end of the wandering years, a new generation of the seed of Abraham had appeared. Spiritually, in a spiritual sense, new seeds of hope were sown. The original covenant and promise reaffirmed and preparation for entering God's land renewed. For this spiritual ministry among the people, God still had his servants, namely Moses, Aaron's sons, the Levites, Joshua, and Caleb. The next chapters of Numbers put into focus the major spiritual issues of these transitional years. The entrance to the land would be opposite Jericho. The Israelites now had arrived at the gate to the promised land. Geographically, the gate is described by in the plains of Moab, on this side, Jordan, by Jericho, Numbers 22:1. For the Israelites, God would keep the gate closed until the day of entrance arrived. The delay was for the accomplishment of God's sovereign business. At this crucial junction in the history of the Israelites, in the midst of new problems, the people would experience God's hand of vindication and judgment. Numbers 22:2. For preparation for life in the new land, a new census must be taken, a new leader identified to succeed Moses, and the law of God finalized. Actually, Deuteronomy contains the bulk of legislation given to the people at this time. Good strategy calls for completing the disposition of the Transjordan land on the east side of the Jordan, where the Israelites were now settled, before crossing into Canaan proper. Finally, specifications were given to the geographic distribution of the lands of Canaan with an identification of cities of refuge, recognition of the stability of inheritance within the respective tribes. Joshua becomes the new leader before entrance to the land. So Joshua took over Moses' place. An important item of business this time, as previously noticed, was the designation of a new leader to succeed Moses. After telling Moses to take one last view of the promised land before his death, the Lord instructed him to commission Joshua, the son of Nun, as his successor. Moses, 120 years old, a mature man of God and faithful leader of his people, through agonizing years of tribulation, was still in prime physical condition, Deuteronomy 34:7. He would have loved to be there when his brethren finally crossed the Jordan into the land of rest. He unflinchingly obeyed his master to the very end. He did just as the Lord commanded. Before his death, recorded in Deuteronomy, Moses was to manifest the obedient attitude in a few more tasks as God's servant. Special features. Six major features characterize Numbers. The desert wanderings, the book of murmuring. Numbers demonstrates the principles of faith. God's plan will be fulfilled. The census proved the size of Israel's army sufficient. And Numbers is a book of discipline. The six areas. So the six major features characterize desert wanderings. In the book of desert wanderings, revealing clearly why Israel did not immediately possess the promised land after leaving Mount Sinai, but instead had to wander aimlessly in the desert for 39 more years, called the book of murmuring. It is recorded again and again, the murmuring, discontent, and bitter complaint of the Israelites against God and his dealings with them. Numbers demonstrates the principle of faith. The book illustrates clearly that without faith, it is impossible to please God, Hebrews 11:6. Throughout the book, one sees that God's people move forward only by trusting him with unwavering faith, believing his promises, and leaning on him as their source of life and hope. God's plan will be fulfilled. Numbers profoundly reveals the principle that if one generation fails, God will raise up another one to fulfill his promises and carry out his mission. That is clear for all these TIs that run around, oh, I've been in this all my life, and you're going to be in it. Tell them that the devil is a liar. Again, if God did it in Numbers, he'll do it again. Numbers profoundly reveals the principle. It's a principle of God that if one generation fails, if that generation, or even if this generation fails to fast and pray, and do enough things, work on lawsuits, get to the judiciary, get to the media, get advocates. If this generation does not do enough, the Word of God tells us that God will raise up another one to fulfill his promises and carry out his mission. But his mission will be done. If it's not this generation, it will be the next. Censuses, okay, prove the size of Israel's army sufficient. The census prior to Kadesh and the census later at the plains of Moab before entering Canaan revealed that it was not the insufficient size of Israel's army that kept her out of Canaan at Kadesh, but the inadequacy of her faith and obedience. So their army was big enough. They just didn't have enough faith. And finally, Numbers is a book of discipline. It is the book of divine discipline demonstrating that God does discipline and exercise judgment against his own people when they persist in complaint and unbelief. Numbers 13:14. And finally, we have the New Testament fulfillment. Israel's murmuring and unbelief are mentioned as warnings for believers under the New Covenant. 1 Corinthians 10:5, Hebrews 3:16. The seriousness of Balaam's sin, Numbers 22-24, and Korah's rebellion, Numbers chapter 16, are mentioned. Jesus refers to the bronze snake to illustrate his being lifted up so that those who believe in him might not perish but have eternal life. Also, Jesus Christ is compared to the rock from which the Israelites drank in the desert and the heavenly manna they ate. That's just a synopsis on the book of Numbers. I have a little lecture, but I don't think I have enough time. do the lecture, so I'll go right into the quiz. All right. The clearest portrait of Christ in the book of Numbers is A, the different feasts which describe Christ's type of ministry on earth. B, the Passover, Christ is our Passover lamb. C, Christ is the head of the new creation. Or D, the bronze serpent on the stake, a picture of the crucifixion. Excellent. The Bronx Serpent is correct. Excellent. Excellent. Who foresaw the rulership of Christ, thus saying, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not now. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. Who said that? Balaam, Aaron, Joshua, or Moses? It was not a man of God, but they had supernatural powers that was able to see that there was a Christ coming. That was anybody? That was Balaam. Balaam. Okay. Remember, anybody remembers the key word to the book of Numbers? It begins with a W. A key word to the book of Numbers. It begins with a W. Wanderings. Excellent. Wanderings. Yeah, they were wandering. Yep. All right, what is the primary message of the book of Numbers? Faith in God is the basis for redemption. God is revealed as an infinite, eternal, self-existent being who the first cause of all that is. God's people are serving a holy God who requires them to be holy as well. For God's people progress forward only by trusting him and his promises by obeying his word. That one, that last one, correct. Excellent. God's people progress forward only by trusting him and his promises and by obeying his words. That is the main idea. The primary message in Numbers. True or false? The book of Numbers profoundly reveals the principle that if one generation fails, God will raise up another one to fulfill his promises and carry out his mission. True or false? True or false? The book of Numbers profoundly reveals the principle that if one generation fails, God will raise up another generation to fulfill his promises and carry out his mission. That a main idea in the book of...
That is true.
That is true. Excellent.
God, when he wants the job done, he will use evil with good and make evil think they're getting ahead and use good to carry out his will.
That's right. And if this generation... Can't let no generation discourage you. It said if this generation won't do it, then he'll use the next one.
Right, and this one is being used because we're getting farther and farther of exposing what is happening in all people's lives dealing with this technology and the plot behind it.
I know that's right. All right, Numbers is the book of divine discipline, demonstrating that God does discipline and exercise judgment against his own people when they persist in complaint and unbelief, true or false. That is true. Numbers is the book of divine discipline, demonstrating that God does discipline and exercise judgment against his own people when they persist in complaint and unbelief. That is true. Oh, that's it. That's it. That's it. I'm surprised. Wow, it was quicker than I thought. Okay, let's pray for this community for God to come down and make the things. Elka, you said you'd pray at the end. Do you want me to pray first or you want to go? Okay, God, we thank you, God, for the book of Numbers. We thank you, God, for biblical teaching. We thank you, God, for giving us guidance so we don't end up to be wanderers, that we don't be wandering across this earth not knowing which way to go as targeted individuals. God, we thank you, God, that we're very clear that it takes trust to please God and faith and obedience. God, clean us up if we have ways that are not according to your will, if we're doing things that sabotage our very own ability to meet your destiny, God, please, God, enter into our lives. Holy Spirit, help us. Help us reach that destiny God has for us. Help us to clean these things up, God, that you will not have us be like, have us do in the name of Jesus. God, we thank you for clarity and understanding, God. We thank you, God, for knowing that there is a promised land. There's a promised land of abundance. There's a promised land of more than enough, the word of God. In the life God has planned for us, we bind up every curse, every obstacle that's put to stop us. And we thank you, God, that what the devil meant for bad, that you're using for good, that we're growing from these situations, God, that things that we know that things are going to turn around. God, the TIs that don't know how they're going to make it, God, let them learn to cry out and appeal to you so that they can be a testimony about, I cried to the God, and he heard my cry, and you can turn things around. God, we give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you, God, for all you've done, all you're going to do. We thank you, God, for preservation, for keeping us in the midst of an assassination.